Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from the May 2024 issue of the Voice of the Martyrs magazine newsletter, there's a couple articles here at the very end that I think you might be interested in. It's called From the Field. Some of these are a little dated, some of them pretty very, very up to date. Church members harassed on the anniversary of crackdown is the name of this one article. In December 2023, the fifth anniversary of the December 2018 crackdown on the Early Rain Covenant Church, government authorities harassed more than a dozen Early Rain church families. Guards, quote-unquote, were stationed outside the homes of some church leaders to prevent them from leaving. And one deacon was detained for 15 days at the Shuangnan police station. Church members lost contact with the deacon on December 8 and had no idea what had happened to him. In addition, one of the church's pastors, Dai Xuchao, was questioned and criminally detained under a charge of picking quarrels and provoking trouble. And after being warned on December 8 not to go online, Elder Li Yingqiang and his wife were detained for several hours the following day. The elder was again detained and interrogated on December 15 and December 19 for his participation in an online event commemorating the anniversary of the 2018 crackdown. Elder Li distributed a letter on December 19, 2023, just last December, requesting prayer as Early Rain Covenant Church continues to face various challenges internally and externally. I hope that you will pray for them. Then there's an article here about a pastor that I have begun praying for, and perhaps you will too. If you will go to prisoneralert.com, you'll see there a whole range of people that you can pray for that are in prison right now. Names, pictures, it's very helpful in your prayer life. On August 21, 2020, while Pastor Anushaban Avidian was leading a worship service in his home, Iranian security agents interrupted the service and arrested the pastor and two other Christians. The group was meeting in the pastor's home because Iranian officials had closed their church several years earlier. Government agents confiscated Bibles and cell phones before taking Pastor Avidian and the other believers to Tehran's notorious Evin prison. The two other Christians were released 2 days later, but Pastor Avidian was held for 26 days and harshly interrogated. On April 11, 2022, an Iranian judge sentenced the pastor to 10 years in prison for engaging in, quote, propaganda contrary to and disturbing the holy religion of Islam, end of quote. Police ordered Pastor Avidian to appear at Evin prison on September 18, 2023, to begin his 10-year prison sentence. Upon completion of the first sentence, he faces an additional 10-year sentence, not in prison, that deprives him of his social rights, quote unquote. He had appealed to Iran's Supreme Court for a retrial, but the appeal was denied. Pastor Avidian is 61 years old and has a wife and two children. The Iranian government is among the most oppressive in the world, and Christians there face constant threat of imprisonment and false charges for following Christ. Several Christians are currently imprisoned, and many others are under house arrest awaiting sentencing. Pray for Pastor Avidian and others like him who are imprisoned in Iran for their faith. Now, in the light of what's happening, and I'm talking May 31st, 2024, what happened yesterday in our country in a court trial, you can get a little picture, perhaps, of what could be coming to our own nation between what happened there and what happens in Iran all the time and in other countries like Iran, North Korea. False justice, no justice, injustice happening in the court system. Well, you might want to just stop fighting it and realizing that perhaps the Lord is going to allow us to go through some of these difficulties too. Not just our past leaders, but us. because we are Christians and engage in what's called hate speech by reading the Bible out loud. Well, let me read to you in that same edition one last article. It's actually the first article, and I passed it up, but it's a letter from Cole. Cole is the present president of Voice of the Martyrs, and he always says something to the people in the beginning of each letter. I do hope that you will go to vom.org and find out for yourself how you can receive this magazine every month, free, totally free, no obligation, whatever. It comes to your door every month, and you'll be able to read these stories yourself. I hope you will. But his letter is entitled, With Them in Prison. Hebrews 13:3 implores us to remember Christians imprisoned for Christ's sake as though we were in prison with them. This kind of remembrance engages our imaginations, requiring us to think of ourselves as being in their cells. But it is a difficult task because it is neither natural nor normal for us to do such a thing. We have no inclination to imagine ourselves locked away from sunlight and fresh air, tortured and abused, with meager rations and no privacy, tempted to despair, and with no idea when or if the imprisonment will end. This month marks 20 years since the arrests of two of our Eritrean Christian family members, Kiflu Gebremeskel and Haile Naiske. Now, I know those names. This is Bob speaking here, because I pray for them constantly. And I want you to, again, go to prisoneralert.com and get these names in your head and be praying for these people all the time. After two decades of imprisonment for Christ's sake, neither they nor their family members have any idea when or if they will be released. As you contemplate their plight, I know that you will feel by turns angry and sorrowful. When I think of them, I become overwhelmed and can only pray until the Lord returns my frustration into tears. Though difficult, bearing one another's burdens and weeping with those who weep are the only ways we can walk out the reality of Christ's prayer that all those who believe on his name will come to complete unity, John 17. Entering into their suffering is what it means for us to be with them, part of God's eternal family. God tells us through his word to remember the sufferings of our Christian brothers and sisters, but thankfully, we are not left to do it alone. Along with imprisoned Christians, we are the sons and daughters of a heavenly Father who entreats us to bring our troubles to him. And when we do, he performs a miracle in our hearts and reminds us by enabling us to walk in faith with his peace in our hearts, free from worry, doubt, and fear. Well, we read in this magazine the story of a long-term prisoner of faith in Eritrea, Twin Theodorus. Twin was released on the morning of September 12, 2020. Our magazine that month, like this one, featured stories of those imprisoned for their faith. When I wrote about Twin for that issue's editorial, I had no idea that after 16 years in prison, she would be released 2 weeks after the magazine called Christians Around the World to pray for her. In light of Twin's experience, might God use this magazine and your prayers to effect the release of Kiflu and Haile? We have no idea how or when God will move to release his prisoners of faith. He alone is sovereign over such things, and his ways are higher than ours. We, his children, merely walk in faith and simple obedience. Let us do so together now. Will you join me in prayer for Kiflu and Haile as we remember those who are in prison, Hebrews 13:3, as though in prison with them? Again, that was all from Cole. It's his first name, the president of Voice of the Martyrs. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. World Missionary Press is an organization that sends literature all over the world and to places even like Iran and Eritrea. They don't actually go there as far as I can see on my map right now. But you can believe that the things that they are translating, scriptures that they are making, will be given to people who will go into some of those areas. And so I wanted to talk to you about the World Missionary Press. We were talking about the Goodman family, Rose and Watson Goodman, who put together the World Missionary Press organization. We talked about how they went to Africa as missionaries in South Africa. Their second term there ended after 6 years. It was 1957, and then the third term started in 1958. They went back to that same mission, picked up where they left off, and I hope that you will go back to this audio from last week to see exactly how they got there and what they did. But Watson would have to double the size of the garage and build an office to manage the growing work. It was starting to happen in Africa, we're talking about, not World Missionary Press yet. Then it was, though, that persecution worldwide, or at least in Africa-wide, it hit very hard. And white missionaries were suddenly not allowed to hold services in black townships of South Africa. This is terrible, yes, but God's word in print became even more vital as services for all were stopped for a while. So you see how this very negative thing brought about in part a very, very positive thing later. On top of this, Rose was taken seriously ill and needed immediate surgery. Even flat on her back and facing death once more, she was thinking of all who had never yet heard the word of God. It was impressed on her at this time that the printed word was the answer. She seemed to hear God asking her if she would be willing to act on this knowledge and be involved in getting the printed word out everywhere. And she said to God, yes. And her life was spared. About this same time, Watson also was hearing God's voice. The passage where Jesus was commanding his apostles, give ye them to eat, was deeply impressed on him. He believed this meant he was to get very much involved in booklet distribution. Both were being called to a worldwide ministry that would print the word in many languages. They believed, for a number of reasons, that this could not happen in South Africa. By February of 1961, they were agreed it was time to go back to the United States, back to Indiana, to start this worldwide ministry. So World Missionary Press was born in that moment, and that was to be the name of this new organization. After they got home, the summer of 1961, a corporation was formed and a location found, first in Winona Lake, Indiana. Watson and Rose began to pray and believe that eventually God would give them 300 languages, 1 million booklets given out every month, and a budget of $1 million a year. Those were the three things he wanted. 300 languages, 1 million booklets given out every month, and a budget of $1 million a year. Well, in January of 2000, the 300th language was translated, belonging to the Hmong Da who live in Vietnam, Laos, and Thailand. So goal one was reached. Actually, World Missionary Press now offers booklets in over 350 languages. As stated above, World Missionary Press put out 9 million booklets a month over the last year. So goal two has seriously been reached. And then a donors report from 2023 states that World Missionary Press collected over 6 times the original goal, $6 million, to meet the increasing demand for booklets worldwide. Goal three reached. The Goodmans would have to see the full extent of the fulfillment of their prayers from their heavenly home. They didn't physically live to see all of these things happen, but it was their prayer and their vision and God himself that made it happen. The Goodmans, the new but small building that they had was dedicated to God, November 11, 1961. The Goodmans initially did all the printing and all the binding and all the shipping themselves. Little by little, others came and volunteered their time and abilities. I'm going to stop it right there there's more to their story, and I want to give you some testimonies of those who have been blessed by World Missionary Press. Remember, again, I'm putting this together with the persecution stories because these gospel tracts are going to persecuted people. And that's the thing that will make the difference in persecuted lands is the Word of God. And these people are aware of that. They go to lots of nations, but they do go to the persecuted ones too. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. You can go to, let me see. Oh, their website at wmpress.org. Again, wmpress.org. I already told you about vom.org if you want to follow through on any of these things. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.